I was still shaking with the Hansen business, and for that matter I was probably suffering from the strain of 2 days' imposture. At any rate, I punished a half bottle of brandy there and then without noticeable effect, which is always a sign that the funks have got me good and proper. Rudy, although he watched me closely, whistling through his teeth, didn't say me nay. There was no further official business that day, only the drive to the hunting lodge at Strelhaugh, 10 miles from the city, and I didn't have to be stone-cold sober for that. We were to set out in mid-afternoon, and presently Yosef and various minions were admitted to begin my preparations for the road. There was a great bustle as trunks and boxes were taken below stairs, and I was divested of my ceremonial uniform and kitted out in cutaway and topper, as befitted a gentleman bent on his honeymoon. I was sufficiently recovered from my nervous condition, or else the booze was beginning to work, to be able to discuss with Rudy the merits of checked or striped trousers, which had been the great debate among the London nobs that year. I was a checker myself, having the height and leg for it, but Rudy thought they looked bumpkinish, which only shows what damned queer taste they had in Austria in those days. Of course, if you'll put up with Metternich, you'll put up with anything. While we were talking, an officer of the palace guard put in an appearance, with an escort carrying drawn sabres, to collect the crown jewellery which Yosef had removed with my uniform. They had taken my coronet and state sword on our return from the cathedral, but my chain and rings remained, and these were now carefully stowed in velvet-lined cases and given to the guard to carry away. "Pretty things," says Rudy, cocking his cheroot thoughtfully between his teeth. "Where are you taking them, Fenrich?"
"To the cloakroom, Herr Baron," says the young officer, clicking his heels.
"Aye, that's a strange place. Surely wouldn't a dungeon be safer?"
"If you please, Herr Baron, the cloakroom is in the top of the main tower of the palace. The tower has one stair, which is under constant guard."
The youth hesitated.
"I believe they are kept there because in the old duke's time it was his grace's delight to visit the clock-room every day and examine the state treasure."
I was taking this in, for what it was worth, and noting that Rudy von Starnberg was showing an uncommon interest in it, too. Dishonest young pup. I knew what he was thinking. We left the palace on the stroke of 3, to be cheered out of town by the loyal Strakensians, who had been making the most of the free buffets and unlimited wine being dispensed in all the public buildings. The whole population seemed to be half-shot, and the applause, as we drove through the streets, was abandoned and hilarious. I sat with the Duchess in an open landau, accompanied by Rudy and a strikingly pretty red-haired lady-in-waiting, whose foot he kept stroking with his boot during the journey. Otherwise he was on his best behaviour, which meant that his conduct stopped just short of open insolence. However, Irma was in no frame of mind to notice. She was in something of a pet, chiefly, I gathered, because Schwerin had not been able to report the apprehension of the agitator who had been abusing us on our drive from the cathedral. And there had been difficulties with her trousseau. The people who were waving us goodbye were over-familiar in their expressions, the open carriage was not suitable for such a cold day, and so on. Every damn thing seemed to be wrong, for no obvious reason. To me it seemed that whatever the rest of her trousseau was like, her blue travelling gown and fur hat, a la hussar, became her admirably. I said so. And she condescended to acknowledge the compliment, but very formally. We were still as distant as dowagers in church, and it struck me again that for all her prim composure, she was probably quaking underneath. I found this gratifying, and resolved to let her stew in it for a while. I wasn't over-solicitous, and for most of the journey we rode in silence.